to Critic of Everything. This is our February 8th podcast, and we're going to be discussing the music, movies, and culture that matter. I'm Nat.
I'm Robin.
I'm Kaya.
Today we're going to be talking about one of America's favorite ex-boy banders, Justin Timberlake. You can't wait to fall in love. But before we get into that, what did everybody do this week?
It's all a blur.
We saw the Killers in Las Vegas.
Yeah, we did.
They were friggin' amazing. They were great.
It's true. That was definitely a highlight. I texted my friend Kyle and I was like, I was feeling all the feels.
All the feels.
At the Killers concert. Very powerful, very electric.
Very good showman, Brandon Flowers. Mm-hmm. I think Brandon Flowers and Ronnie Benucci, the drummer, like the Bruce Springsteen and Steve Van Zandt of our generation or their generation. I'm not sure that we're in the same generation, but they were amazing. Go see them. Listen to their new album, Wonderful, Wonderful. Most of the tracks are really good. And even the tracks that didn't think were really good were really good live. So, Kai, what'd you do?
I watched the Super Bowl performance, which we'll get into later. I also watched Roman J. Israel with Denzel Washington, which was, he's nominated for Best Actor, and he did a really great job. I feel like Denzel Washington tends to play the same character, but he's so good at it. Kind of like some other actors. But last night I actually watched Phantom Thread, which was definitely, like, totally unexpected. Like, knocked my socks off. I was, like, I don't want to use the word shook because everybody says, I was shook, but I was shook. Like, the whole time, I just didn't know how to feel about the different characters. And at the end of it, I definitely did not know how to feel. So, but overall, I thought it was a really great film and definitely worth the Oscar nomination, in my opinion.
It's very stylized, very beautiful, and you, like, the whole time you're watching the movie, you think it's gonna go a certain way, and then something happens and you're like, okay, I'm reforming my opinions of this, and then all of a sudden something else happens and you're like, that is not what I was expecting. When I got out of the theater, some kid was like, what the fuck did I just watch?
Yeah. And we already ragged on, we meaning I already ragged on Lady Bird enough. But I just, after watching Phantom Thread, I just couldn't, I feel like it's unfair that Phantom Thread and some of these other films have to even compete with Lady Bird at the Oscars. Like, it's unfair, but that's life.
After watching Phantom Thread, it made me hate Lady Bird even more.
So we watched the Super Bowl, aka the Justin Timberlake concert, this week.
So overall, what did you all think about his performance? Did you think it was good? If you know what's good.
I feel like Kai, you're about to rip it to shreds, but I just want to say that I thought it was really fun and really good, and I thought that the mirrors were really cool, and the thing where they lit up Minneapolis so it had the Prince symbol was really cool, and I thought it was fun, and I thought that Justin used the stadium really well, and he used a shit ton of backup dancers, and I just, like, all those people, you get paid, like, a ludicrous amount of money for doing the Super Bowl halftime show, and I don't know how much he gave to those backup dancers, but I just was really impressed that he hired so many people to make that possible. So I thought it was a great show. I thought it was, like, great, great audience participation, even though I think the audience was backup dancers, too. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun. You know, I think Justin Timberlake is a fun guy, and you know, that kind of comes through in all of his performances. Like, he's there to feel good. He, like, came on the scene in, like, the early 2000s, late 90s, when pop was just, like, made to make you feel good. And I read something on NPR that was, like, basically saying maybe that was a little tone deaf for the Super Bowl in 2018. You know, it was a little too poppy. It was a little too feel good, as opposed to, like, coming off of the Grammys, which was a very politically charged performance.
But I want to say that the people that watch the NFL are like, you know, like, no offense to them, I'm sure they're great people, but there are quite a few Trump voters among them. You know, they're a little more typical, like, stereotypical red-blooded Americans. And I don't think the Super Bowl, like, none of the Super Bowl performances have ever really been, like, that avant-garde.
Okay, so I watched it twice. So the first time I watched it, and I was like, the whole time I was like, yeah, like, my little afro was bobbing. Okay, I was like, oh, I forgot how many great songs that Justin Timberlake had. Like, I live for Senorita, and I, like, every time I'm like, yes, Justin, and he, like, no one can deny that Justin Timberlake has bangers, like the Miley Cyrus album title. he has hits. Like, he has a portfolio that no one can deny. So I thought the song choice was really good. And going along with what you were saying, Natalie, I liked the mirrors. And okay, I feel like a lot of people have a lot of performance have so many people, but some more than others, and he definitely utilized that, I don't know, service, because even when I went back and looked at Michael Jackson's performance, he used, like, it was a lot of just children from the community or something who were just, like, running through, yeah, the field. So I liked the marching band for Suit and Tie. I thought that was, like, very smooth. And I also have a little love for marching bands. I was never in the marching band, but I like when they're used. And I also like, we'll get into this later when we talk about Man of the Woods, but I liked the first song, Filthy. I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, so overall, like, when I watched the first time, I was like, okay, this is good. Like, and then the second time, I watched it with a more critical eye. I will say the first time I watched it, I was like, what the fuck is he wearing? Because it just didn't make sense. Like, he first came out, he had this leather, like, fringe jacket, and then when he took it off, it was, like, the camo suit, and I was like, is this for the Trump supporters? I was like, why? And then with the shirt that was, like, a weird mural, it just didn't make sense at all. And, apparently Stella McCartney designed it, and I'm just like, come on, Stella, like, you can do so much better than that. But, yeah, I think, the main thing was his vocal. For me, I was like, where was the vocals? And I went back and I watched, Beyonce's performance, and I am a huge Beyonce stan, of course, but I feel, all of them. I actually really did watch all, because I was just like, oh, my baby, it's so good. But she had the vocals, and Bruno Mars had vocals, and Lady Gaga brought vocals. And I'm like, here comes Justin Timberlake. Where were the vocals? Did you leave them back at home with Jessica Biel? He did not bring them with him to the Super Bowl. And the choreography was like, and, like, it was a little bit dated for me, but when I went back and watched his performance from Iceland in 2004 and his Rock in Rio performance from last year, because I was trying to gauge where is Justin Timberlake as a performer today because we know him kind of from NSYNC. But I feel like he could have did a little bit more. Like, it kind of feels like he's been using the same choreographer for the past, like, 15 plus years. And I also really think that he should have brought out someone.
Besides Princess Hologram?
Yeah, I liked the Minnesota thing. It gave me chills, but I think when you're performing a Prince song or doing a tribute to anybody who died, it's gonna be kind of like a powerful, magical moment. But I think Lady Gaga didn't bring out anyone, but I think Justin Timberlake, if you weren't gonna bring the vocals, then you should have brought out someone. He could have brought out NSYNC. He didn't have to bring out Janet.
Yeah, he could have brought out JC, Shazay, back from the grave.
He could have brought out Timberland, like, he could have brought out Pharrell, like, I mean, anyone just to, like, bring it to the next level if he wasn't gonna do it himself.
Well, I wonder if they were like, you can't bring out anyone because of what happened last time. We know it's been 14 years, but that really shook the fabric of how we did Super Bowl halftime performances.
We really don't want you ripping off Pharrell's hat, Justin.
Yeah, we don't want to see what's under there. It could be bald.
Well, very interesting. So, I thought that outfit was pretty ugly. He has a history of very ugly outfits. Robin, you want to talk about the VMAs a few years back?
Oh my god, yeah. So, I think it was either 2014 or 15. He was, like, the very first honoree.
It was called the Video Vanguard.
Yeah, Video Vanguard, which is basically a lifetime achievement award for 30-year-olds. And he wore the most hideous asymmetrical outfit that I thought at any moment he was going to rip off one of his sleeves to actually make it look better. But he didn't. He, like, kept it on the whole time. I'm pretty sure it was Stella McCartney, too. I think that she and him are in cahoots to just design the Justin Timberlake special suits that he wears. But no one ever really likes them. You wonder if he can even get away wearing them because, like, just because he's famous, he still has a face that looks like Justin Timberlake. Justin Timberlake has a very, like, boy next door, simple, approachable kind of,
you know,
vibe to him.
After watching that video of Iceland that you sent us where he was performing in Iceland, he looks a lot like those Icelandic people. It was like, dang, there's a whole audience full of Justins. I think Stella McCartney also designed that wonderful, iconic outfit that he and Britney wore, the matching denim suits.
Oh, that's worth a fact check.
Yeah, I'm checking up on it right now. But while I do that, we touched on a couple of Justin's high points. We want to take it back to give you kind of like a brief history of Justin, just in case you forgot.
Here we go. Here we go. One more time. Everybody's feeling fine. Here we go now.
Yes, here we go. NSYNC has got the flow.
Put your head.
Let's begin first by saying the most important thing about Justin, which is that it was once said by his mother that he was the most talented human being who would ever grace the planet. So that's what he was growing up with.
And I think, for the most part, he lived up to that expectation. I'm sure his mom is real proud.
So he started his career in the Mickey Mouse Club with Britney.
And Ryan Gosling.
And was Christina Aguilera in it, too?
Yes, she was.
All those great, Disney just snatched him up and was like, we're going to make sleeves out of you real young.
And J.C. Shazay.
Then, of course, you know him as the frontman of NSYNC.
Well, actually, who, Justin or JC?
Well, both.
Yeah, I would argue that JC was actually the front man of NSYNC, and then Justin, you know, hit puberty and got a little cuter, and then he became the front man.
We would like to remind you of Justin's ramen hair. While Lance Bass was busy rocking the frosted tips, Justin had a head full of ramen, looked like uncooked ramen, because he has curly hair, you know?
Jerry curl, that's what they call it.
Jerry Curl, yeah. Then he left NSYNC, or they broke up.
They broke up, and
the boyfriend thing was over.
And he justified his departure by releasing "Justified" with the hit single "Cry Me a River."
Go on and just.
first one coming off of his solo 2002 release. And shortly after that, so 2002, that Super Bowl performance was in 2004 where he performed Rock Your Body. With Miss Janet Jackson, and he ripped off her little titty cover to show her little titty with her little titty ring. And here we are, 14 years later.
Well, so let's rewind. Back when he released Cry Me a River, it was right after his breakup with Britney. Him and Britney of Denim Outfit fame were like the it couple. I personally wish. I think that would have kept Britney out of a lot of trouble. Yeah. She stayed with Justin. Maybe it was just a publicity relationship. But anyway, in the Cry Me a River video, he had like a Britney lookalike, and that was like very controversial.
Very controversial man, Justin Timberlake, lest we forget.
But most of us remember him most fondly for his banger of an album, Bangers album by Miley Cyrus. Not by Miley Cyrus, Future Sex Love Sound.
Future Sex Love Sound.
Which was the beginning of a beautiful relationship with Timbaland.
Go me, girl. Go ahead, be gone with it.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
VIP.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
I wasn't that big of a fan of NSYNC. Like, I was more of a Destiny's Child, you know?
They just didn't really do it for you, huh?
Yeah, they just didn't. So I came to know Justin Timberlake when he started collaborating with Timbaland and Pharrell. And I think that's when his career skyrocketed.
Yeah, so he made Future Sex Love Sounds, and it was, like, the best album ever. And then he made some movies, and he guest starred on SNL a bunch of times. Then he did Dick in a Box.
It's my Dick in a Box.
And he did a bunch of stuff with The Lonely Island. And he was pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, I remember watching him on Saturday Night Live, I think like 2004 or 2005.
Bring it on into Olivetville.
Yeah!
And the Fair Guitar Show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And really, that was kind of when I first decided that Justin Timberlake is a funny guy and is the most talented person in the world, and we should give him all of our money, just like his mother said. All those years ago.
He did a bunch of comedies, too. He did Friends with Benefits.
I could sing some Third Eye Blind.
Okay.
Closing time. One last call for alcohol.
That's not Third Eye Blind.
I'm pretty sure that's Third Eye Blind.
No. And he did a couple of other romantic comedies, including
The Love Guru.
The Love Guru, which is not okay anymore. Or really ever.
But he also did kind of a parlay into serious acting in like 2008 with Alpha Dog and Black Snake Moan.
And he did that science fiction movie where like the people
in time.
Yeah, like where they were all like everyone has a finite amount of time. It was really good. The Amanda Seyfried. Yeah. Yeah, so he acted in a couple movies. Then he released The 2020 Experience. And I don't know about you guys, but from the title I kind of thought that this was like the album that like he was going to be looking into the past and like hindsight's 2020, and he was going to be making like an album that would be even better than Future Sex Love Sounds, which it was not. It was basically an album of interludes.
There were some bangers on that one. Some like really hot, sexually charged that made you want to like hold the wall, you know, back up on it. But then like once I listened to it, and I listened to that album when it came out countless times. But, you know, those interludes and those exitludes really fucking get to you when you have a really awesome 4-minute song that you expand to be an 8-minute mess. Well, you're like, how am I going to put this on a playlist for a party now?
I thought the 2020 experience was like the beginning of the end for Justin. You know, if we're saying Future Sex Love Sounds was the peak, then 2020 was definitely part of the decline, just from a business point of view.
And he also had so much time to work on it. You know, like, Future Sex Love Sounds came out in 2007, and 2020 Experience came out in 2013. So he had 6 years to perfect this album, in which he called the 2020 Experience, i.e. it's perfect. And it just wasn't.
But he was busy acting.
Yeah, well, you know.
So that brings me to my second question. Is he a better actor or a better musician? And should a personality try to do both?
Well, I just want to point out, and I did not come up with this thought on my own. I actually heard it on Keep It, the podcast. They were talking about how Justin Timberlake isn't really an album artist. He's more of a singles artist. And I think that's a really good point. Like and we definitely will see this when we get to Man of the Woods. But going into this question that you pose, it's like, if he does do music, should he just stop doing albums and just do singles?
Well, I think that Justin Timberlake is neither an actor nor a musician, but an entertainer. And I think that is a really specific brand that he is, you know? Like, Justin Timberlake is good at everything that he does. But people who are good at everything that they do doesn't necessarily mean that they excel in any one thing, you know? So he's really good at putting on a show, even though he didn't bring the vocals this time. Like, you know, how old is he? He's 37, something like that. Yeah, I think I read he's 37. He's getting up there. He's getting old. He's a family man. And that was something like, you know, how long do you want to be doing this shit? He's been doing it his whole life.
You know, but though, I think, and we're getting down to the meat of the podcast here, but I agree with Rob, and I think, like, and with Kaya, like, I think he's a singles artist. He had that Can't Stop the Feeling. That was, like,
a total ripoff of Justin McCartney.
But a great song. Like, nonetheless, kids love it. Like, Arrows and Trolls. He had Mirrors, which when I first heard it, I thought was, like, an NSYNC song. But then I realized that I know every NSYNC song, and that was nowhere on the albums. But, yeah, I mean, I think she's right. He's going to do everything pretty well, but maybe not do anything, like, he's never going to have, like, a blockbuster movie, right? He's never going to headline, like, a blockbuster movie, but he's going to be a super funny SNL host. Like, maybe he peaked with Future Sex Love Sounds, but he's still got some great singles in him. Like, I think he is. I don't think it matters. I think he's doing just fine.
I mean, yeah. No one is worried about Justin Timberlake crashing and burning and not having his career.
I mean, if he can come back from Nipplegate.
I mean, but did he come back from Nipplegate? Justin Timberlake has kind of walked the line of problematic. And we'll get into this a little bit more later, but he's done some problematic things. Like, when I was listening to Keep It earlier, they were talking about, apparently, when he was dating Britney, he would give these interviews and he would talk about how he would eat her out and, like, how good she was in bed. And, like, I think people were kind of like, with Justin Timberlake, and then with Man in the Woods and the Super Bowl show, and they also pointed out something really great where they were like, had the performance with Janet happened in 2018 where he ripped her thing off, he would be ripped to shreds. Like, you know, like, the same reaction would not have happened where, like, all the blame was put on her and he just got off scot-free. Like, he would have, his career would have been, like, eliminated completely. So, I personally think that, yes, Justin Timberlake is talented, but he is a heavily produced artist. Not saying that he can't sing, not saying that he can't act, but he can dance, he can act, he can sing. Does he do any of these things outstandingly by our standards in 2018? No. And I think we've moved on from him.
But I also didn't understand why Janet got most of the blame for the Super Bowl. I mean, she didn't rip her own top off. Like, So is that, like, victim blaming? Like, how everybody blamed Janet Jackson, or was she planning on having her titty out the whole time?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's, like, why did Monica Lewinsky get all the flack and not Bill Clinton? I mean, he did kind of get flack, but, like, people really ripped her to shreds.
Yeah. And then, okay, so what you said about the inappropriate interviews Justin was giving, we all listened to Man of the Woods, and we can't wait to tell you all about it, dear listener. But... does anyone else think that Man of the Woods is, like, a euphemism for cunnilingus? Because I don't believe that Justin Timberlake lives in the woods, but I do believe that he gives a lot of head.
I guess, because there's a lot of bush in the woods. Is that what you were...
Yeah, and most of the songs are just, like, about how much he, like, loves his wife.
I know, boring. No one loves Justin, Jessica Biel as much as Justin Timberlake does, which is rightfully so, you know, as her husband, but nobody cares about Jessica Biel.
Aww.
It's true.
Yeah, nobody, I don't care about her.
We don't have an image of your relationship as being this, like, dark, sexy, like, passion-filled romance. We're like, oh, that's so great. They found love in a celebrity culture. They're a stable couple. They've been together a long time. I don't see it, but, like, amazing. Good for you.
like some of the sexy stuff that Justin sang about on Future Sex Love Sounds when he was single was, like, sexy. Now he's married with a kid, and some of the stuff he's singing about seems like a little too much information.
I think so, too. It just seemed kind of like he was trying to bring sexy back into this album, but he hasn't really been sexy in a long time, you know?
Yeah, like in that article you linked from the spinoff, he talks about how Sauce is evidence 6 years of marriage has rendered Timberlake incapable of dirty talk. I love your pink, you love my purple, is the line so repulsive, I don't know when I'll be able to have sex again.
Ooh, I love your pink, you like my purple, that color right between those, that's where I...
Yeah, so that's from this article that I will link on the blog called Justin Timberlake, Man Who Went Camping Once. It's a review of Man of the Woods. And there's also an article that I will link called The 6 Most Awkward Sex Lyrics from Man of the Woods. And it, you bet your bottom dollar that I like your pink, you like my purple is one of those lyrics.
Oh my god. So which songs did you like from the Man in the Woods of the Woods?
Well, every time I listen to an album, I like pick out the songs that I like, and then I check on Spotify to see if everyone agrees with me. And I feel the same way as everyone else, because
you really need that validation.
No, because you know, you wonder, you're like, I think this song is really good. This is a single, like, do other people feel this way? And they do. Like, I really enjoyed the Say Something song, and I remember listening to Supplies. That one was a real, like, banger for me. I was getting into that song thinking, this is good. This is actually a good song.
I like
do people think
too.
This too?
Yeah.
And they do, you know, so... But those songs, I feel like he really excelled in this album with... And we'll kind of get back to a critique of the album, but those songs really did a good job incorporating a country hip-hop aspect. You know, they were a good blend, and it was something that you really wanted to see more of. I know a big critique with this album was he had an opportunity to be a lot more country and a lot more, like, genre crossing that he just didn't take. And, like, it would have probably translated better had he not tried to straddle the line so fervently.
I want to talk about a song on the album called Living Off the Land.
Just one man.
Way too much going on. There's this walking bass line that works really well in some parts of the songs, but sometimes you're just like, oh my god, this song is about the bass line and it really shouldn't be. And it's a real song. Like, it's about some struggles that real people probably have, like credit card debt and, like, not knowing who you are and, like, just, like, be, you know, like, being a sinner. But it's coming from Justin Timberlake, who just spent, like, the last 15 tracks of this album talking about, like, what a cushy, beautiful life he's living. And we know you ain't living off the land. So why is this song called Living Off the Land? But I think it's a good song. I think that the melody is good. I think that the message is good. I just don't think the execution is good because he put way too much shit in there. He just, like, can't keep his hands off the drum machine.
I just keep moving forward. At times I wish it were true. So
I like Say Something. I think it's probably the best song on the album. Like, when I first heard it, I was like, oh, like, this is good. I also think Filthy is good, even if it is an exact copy of Sexy Back. But it's good, you know? And Man of the Woods, the title track, is like, no. No, gets a no. Also, Flannel is a no.
Also,
yeah.
Can we just talk about how he kind of low-key rips off Kanye in Midnight Summer Jam? Because when he goes like, you can't do better than this, you can't do better than this.
Y'all can't do better than this, y'all can't do better than this, y'all can't do better than this. Act like the South ain't the shit, act like the South ain't the shit.
This is an ultralight beam. This is an ultralight beam.
We on an ultralight beam. This is a God dream.
To a T. Yeah, but I want to talk about kind of like the production. So you guys both mentioned that you like Say Something, which is a collab with Chris Stapleton, who just won a bunch of country Grammys. And if he was trying to make a Roots album, I couldn't help but feel that he should have collaborated more with people like Chris Stapleton. He produced this album with his faves, Pharrell, The Neptunes, Timbaland, Avi. He's got a track on there with Alicia Keys. I had very high hopes for, but it ended up kind of just being like, eh.
Yeah, I didn't really like the Alicia Keys song either. Okay, before we go any further, I just have to talk about the names of the songs. Okay, because it really, really bothers me, like to my core. I just cannot understand how literal he went with being like, okay, I'm gonna do a country-ish album or whatever. And it's like, they were in a room and they're like, what should we name it? And they're like, log, timber, man in the woods. He's like, yeah, man in the woods. Okay, and then they're like, what should we name the songs? And that's literally what we get. And it's like his, however old his son is, 3-year-old, was like in the room too, like, sauce, filthy, supplies, like, it would be, like, morning light, flannel, like, Montana. I was like, oh my god, this is so juvenile, and it would be like if every track on Lemonade was named tea, sugar, pitcher, water, ice cube. Like, it is the exact equivalent, and I just don't understand why. And so, with that being said, I feel like he was just so gung-ho about Man in the Woods. Like, he even wore his camo Trump supporting outfit to the Super Bowl, right? And so I'm like, if that's what you're gonna do, commit. Like, if you're gonna jump, jump. And I feel like with this album, I was waiting for him to jump. Like, if you're gonna do country, then do it. Like, quit trying to hold on to this old part. Like, I feel like that's why the album has gotten such bad reviews, because it's like this weird disconnect. And I think that Say Something is like a actual, like, the best mesh of them. I like, but I think the other ones are just kind of like this weird, like, yeah, I want to do a country album, but like still be Justin. And they're like, okay, I got you. And it's like, no.
Like, yeah, that kind of goes into what we were talking about earlier. Is he a musician? Is he an actor? No, he's an entertainer who happens to have a great amount of musical talent, but he's not an artist by any means. Like, if he were a real artist, he would have taken this time to really cultivate this album and be like, what are my deep inner feelings? What, like, things do I want to convey with this album? Because, like, you know, that's what artists do. They, like, you know, hit on Miley Cyrus all you want, but she was like, I'm in this. I'm, like, feeling this whole hip-hop thing. Like, we can talk about all that later. But Bangers was, like, a holistically different album than her new release, Younger Now, because that's what she was, like, feeling as an artist. You know, that was something she wanted to convey. Or, like, if you want to talk Coldplay's Milo Xylito, that was like a total departure from the stuff that they had been doing, because they were like, this is the new direction we want to go in. And, like, if you're an artist, you can do that. You can own the direction, and then you can really follow suit with it. And he just didn't do that. Yeah, I agree, he's not an artist, that he is an entertainer, but he's a special kind of entertainer that we like to call a pop star. Justin Timberlake is a pop star, and I think the reason that we're so betrayed by his lack of artistry is because he has everything. He has everything. He has, like, all the money, all the access, all the extras, and I think we were just, maybe we're setting our standards too high for him, you know, like, maybe he's just a dad who wants to, like, make an album about wearing flannel and like banging his wife, you know?
Buying supplies.
He can totally do that, but we don't have to like it when you have all of these other artists who are putting in so much time and work. And not saying that he's not putting in time and work, but Justin Timberlake is a heavily, like I said earlier, like he, in like you were saying, Natalie, like he has the team. He can get any producer he wants to like help him with the album. And maybe little Junie B, who's just in their home trying to make hits, like they are putting out better stuff than Justin. Do you know what I mean? Because they don't have all the help, and maybe having all that help is hurting him in a certain way.
Yeah, I feel like we're definitely in a culture where so many of our artists, because Justin Timberlake definitely came from a time where there was a songwriter and there was a singer. And I think that's, you know, pop stars carry the weight of both things. Like, say what you want about Katy Perry, but she like actually still writes her shit. Lady Gaga writes her shit, you know. Justin Timberlake does too, but like they just do it on a different level.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I think that might be an unrealistic expectation for pop. For example, Wrecking Ball, Miley Cyrus didn't write Wrecking Ball. Like, and she, that was like one of her biggest songs. And like, I agree, she had a lot of songs on that album that she did write that I thought were a lot better. And that's just like not how the pop world works. But,
well, it's also like at 37, when do you stop being a pop star? You know, like if you're a musician who does pop at like 37, do you really want to be the pop star that you were when you were 23?
No, you want to be the man of the woods with your little son.
Exactly. So, I don't know. Are we done talking about Man of the Woods? I think that would be a good transition into who are the pop stars today.
Kaya wanted to talk. Did you still want to talk about, like, appropriation?
Yeah, I think it's a fair point. And I think Justin Timberlake and other white artists, they do this thing. Like when I first heard he was doing Man of the Woods and then I saw the Super Bowl performance, I was like, oh, like he's doing it. Like he's doing the thing that white artists have a track record of doing, where they and there's several articles on this that describe it perfectly, and there was a whole thread on Twitter where it talks about how white artists, they start out with like a squeaky clean image, and then they have a coming of age where they're like have a different, more mature sound and identity. And this usually involves appropriating Black culture and sounds. And then this can only go so far with white audiences, aka the Trump supporters. And so then they begin to rebel, and then they go back to their roots, quote unquote. And they kind of, and they completely leave behind, their this hip hop, rap, and R&B cultures that they were using before, and now all of a sudden they're like country music artists. So Miley Cyrus has definitely done this. Lady Gaga to some extent has, and now Justin Timberlake, and I feel like he doesn't want to completely do it, and that's why I think with the album, that's why it's kind of like this weird mix. Because to be fair, Filthy may be a good song, although apparently a lot of people hate it, but it doesn't belong on this album. It kind of is like to me, it's like an outlier on this album. I think Chris Davarill, who wrote an article about like white artists appropriating Black culture, he says, this is not to say that there's something inherently wrong with country music or artists exploring new genres, but there's a message attached to white artists returning to the roots that we need to be conscious of. So I just wanted to bring that to the audience's consciousness of this trend that artists have of doing.
And maybe you're right. I mean, I think like Justin Timberlake isn't tone deaf. So maybe that was something that he really was heavily conscious of, and maybe that you're right, that's why they didn't want to do the complete crossover, you know. That could be. Well, Justin could be more mindful than we thought.
Justin also did grow up in Memphis, which is a predominantly black city. So even though he's white and he probably grew up in like cushy white neighborhoods, like I think he was exposed to a lot of like R&B soul stuff. And I do think that like some of the things on that album are in his roots. What I don't think is in his roots is like backwoods, like duck call and whatever. Like that's the part that I don't buy with him.
Yeah.
But
I think there's a lot of bleach in his roots.
In one thing that I was thinking about when I saw him in that horrible outfit is I was like, had he performed 1 year later in Atlanta, would he have worn the same thing? Do you know, would he still be coming out with the same outfit? Like it's very, from a business point of view, it is very strategic to, and even from like Miley Cyrus, and there is an audience of white people, not to get too into politics, but there's an audience of white people that have been forgotten, right, for many years, and they showed their voice when they voted for Trump, and they are now back in saying what they want to say. And so I think from an artist point of view, they're like, why not appeal to that audience and get their coin?
It's true.
Why not?
Business wise, yeah, I mean, like, that's totally why Miley did it, even though she's made a lot less money on this album.
And I think when artists do it, I don't think it turns out very well for them when they have this, like, I'm going back to my roots. Like, I don't think that it does as well as they think it's going to do.
I do want to say, though, I loved Younger Now, Miley's country album. I thought it was fantastic. And really, like, it was taking it back even further than country music currently takes country music back. It was, like, really, like, original country. But, Kaya, you said something last week that I really liked was about Bruno Mars. So, like, Bruno Mars is, like, kind of the heir apparent to Justin Timberlake in this day of age. Like, he's our pop star. But you said something I really liked, which was, like,
that he's, like, a karaoke star.
Yeah, and he, like, looks and he's like, which culture can I appropriate for this single?
Yeah. I definitely think, and there's definitely a debate within the black community about what should we do about Bruno Mars.
This week's meeting, what should we do about Bruno Mars?
And I really think it's, like, split in half, where, like, half of people are like, yes, like, love Bruno Mars, like, he's great, and then other people are like, no, like, he just is a culture vulture, like, he's not black, like, you know, he's Filipino, like, so it is kind of weird, because at the end of the day, what Bruno Mars does, he would not be able to get away with it if he was white, like, that is just a fact. Like, he would not be able to. So because he is Asian or brown, like, he's able to, like, walk that line. But, I mean, Bruno Mars is talented and has vocals.
I guess.
I just don't know who he is as an artist. And I don't know that he knows that either.
Yeah, that's probably true. I used to be a big fan of Maroon 5 back when, like, they were an actual band that made actual music. But it was very clear that all Adam Levine ever wanted to be was a rich pop star, rock star. And I think maybe that's what Bruno Mars wants to do, too. He wants to make it, like, big enough on his talent to do whatever the fuck he wants and be kind of just like a whore. Just a little pop whore.
Well, speaking of Bruno Mars and Super Bowls, he kind of shaded, well, they're saying there is some form of shade, because he was tweeting or had some sort of interview about, like, after this performance with Justin Timberlake, and he was saying, like, oh, like, come on, Super Bowl committee, I want to help curate next year's show, like, kind of saying, like, this year was bad, let me help do next year's and make it better. Like, that's kind of was the undertones. And because they're going to do it in Atlanta, he really wants them to bring out, like, hip-hop rap artists. that are from Atlanta, which...
He is not.
Nelly!
I don't know if the Super Bowl will do that, but do either of you have any picks for next year's Super Bowl?
Nelly! Because Nelly was actually in... He performed with Justin Timberlake that year, too. It was like the Nelly, Justin, Janet. And everyone forgets all about his... Oh, God, what was that song? The It's Getting Hot in Here, So Hot. Like, that whole performance was fucking sexy. It was all about taking off your clothes. And then Janet Jackson took off one article of one piece of her clothing, and everyone was all up in arms, even though we all expected to see some tits.
I do want to point out that Justin Timberlake has the line in that song he sang at the halftime show this year, gonna have you naked by the end of this song, and they stopped it just before that line. But I think, you know, I think the Super Bowl is... It's a whale. Like, it is something that, like, artists use to get a shit ton of publicity. They make a bunch of money. I actually didn't even know this until I watched the Lady Gaga documentary, and she was like, oh my God, the Super Bowl, this is, like, the pinnacle of my career. And I was thinking, like, really? Like, this? But it's a big deal.
Everyone watches the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is an unofficial national holiday. There's no one out on Super Bowl Sunday. It's the most wonderful time of the year because there's no traffic. I mean, there's no traffic. There's no one doing anything, but businesses can't close for the Super Bowl. You know, like, it's just, it's a beautiful day that I like to take advantage of.
I'm trying to think who I would pick to perform. I mean, I feel like the people that I would pick, other people would not be into.
Well, people are saying that J-Lo should perform. She's like a favorite. I mean, I like Nelly, but I don't know that he has 13 minutes of material.
He doesn't. But here's the thing, like, also kind of coming back to what I hinted at earlier, that Super Bowl performance that, you know, back in 2004 really did shake up the fabric of how they did Super Bowl performances. I mean, after that, they were like...
They got way safer.
They got way safer. We're going to do classic rock. We're only going to have one performer. Like, they put so many safeguards in place to, like, prevent that shit from happening. And,
yeah.
I mean, like, before, I remember there was so much hype. It was like, oh my gosh, who's going to do the Super Bowl? Oh, it's going to be Sting and Gwen Stefani and all these people. And now it's just, like, one person.
You know, I think I actually don't think Bruno Mars would be a bad choice. I think, like, people that I think the America would like to see are, like, Maroon 5 and, like, Bruno Mars. But personally, like, you're asking the wrong person because I am not the football crowd. Like, I am definitely not the football crowd. I don't know what they're into.
I think they should go more, like, hip-hop-y.
Yeah, but if it's Atlanta, I mean, like, maybe why not just get, like, the best of Atlanta?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, why not bring... Because, like you were saying, Robin, they used to have, like, multiple people out there. And not only that year, but some other years, too, they would have, like... I think they had, No Doubt. And they had, like, No Doubt and, like, several other people. I don't remember who the other ones were. But, why not get, like, a medley of, like, Atlanta performers? Or it doesn't have to be Atlanta performers. Like, Wendy Williams was saying, she's like, how about Diddy? Like, Diddy and his network. Well, you know, he has, like, Lil' Kim, which... Lil' Kim may be, like, a little bit too much for the American public, but why not get her to perform at a cleaner version of her songs at the Super Bowl, you know, and then bring out, like, some of the other, like, old school Diddy fam. Like, I think that would be entertainment.
Yeah, and I think next year, if they're having it in Atlanta, like, who the fuck knows what 2018's gonna bring and what 2019's gonna look like, so... That would be a really good opportunity for them to start brainstorming. How do we bring people together via the Super Bowl, via the halftime show, via the musical artists, so they could do a lot of, like, genre collaborations and just kind of bring back the multi-performer
Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah, unite the people. Yeah, give the people something to celebrate.
Give everyone a little bit of something so they can all see that we can come together.
So for the last bit of our show, we're going to be going into alternative Justins.
Well, I would like to take this platform to say that everyone should listen to Jesse McCartney because he is very talented, if not just as talented as Justin Timberlake.
We're not sure why he didn't become more famous. He's extremely talented, like extremely grateful, writes amazing music. Also in a boy band.
He was in a boy band. They're so similar. Why is Jesse as big? But that's my point.
We love Jesse McCartney.
We love Jesse McCartney.
They do.
There's also the obvious choice, the other Justin Bieber. He's kind of taken you can't just say Justin anymore, you know?
There's two sides to every coin, and now there's a Bieber to a Timberlake.
Now there's a Bieber. So we like the Biebs, even though he's a hot damn Canadian mess.
But like on the flip side, he is a musician.
He sure is.
He's a fucking talented as shit musician. By God, he writes all of his shit. His music's amazing, and he's surrounded himself with like a wicked team who really made sure. Like I remember hearing something right when Justin Bieber came onto the scene. Like Scooter Braun was like, "We're making sure that he will have this vocal capability for many years." Because, like, you know, he had that high voice, and then he went through puberty, and they were like, "We're going to usher this kid in to make sure he lasts a long time."
Yeah, he can pee on all the strippers he wants.
Mm-hmm.
We also want to stick it out for Chris Brown, because he makes some great tunes. Oh, he has that awful history.
Oh, yeah.
He's a little bit of a disaster, but dang, his music's good, and he can sure dance.
He would do a great Super Bowl. If we just give him like 5 more years, and if he stops doing...
If he doesn't hit anyone in 5 years.
If he doesn't move for the next 5 years.
If he's on probation.
Yeah, a couple of other artists that we think are sort of Justin-esque are Nick Jonas of the Jonas Brothers. He's got that falsetto thing going for him. He's pretty sexy for a 5'8" guy, however tall he is.
Yeah, he's like 5'9" or some shit like that.
Okay, he's taller than I thought. Last time I saw him, he was like
little
14. So I want to throw something in there about the One Directioners, i.e. Liam Payne and Harry Styles, because they're making music that's pretty good, but I, for one, do not think that they should be given a plug, even though I just plugged them, because they're going to be fine, and there's just too damn many of them. I mean, can you imagine if everyone from NSYNC tried to have a solo career?
No.
I mean, but they could try. It doesn't mean we have to accept.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. But it's, you know, like, it's a similar formula to Justin Bieber. You know, like, if you've got enough money, you can surround yourself with the best people in the industry and make great pop songs. But, again, doesn't mean it's art, as we talked about. And if you are just sick of the patriarchy, try women! There are tons of great female artists out there.
I think just in general, there's tons of talent, like people with 10 times more talent than Justin Timberlake. Just like I said earlier, if he had started his career January 1st, 2018, we would have no idea who he is. I mean, but all of these people, like Justin Bieber and Bruno Mars and whoever the hell else, do stand on the shoulders of Justin Timberlake. So I'm not going to, like, completely discredit him. But,
you can't erase the last 20 years, Kyle.
No, but he should be thankful that he came out when he did, because he would not be able to upstand the turbulent waters of today.
You know, I'm going to disagree with that, because I think that Filthy is a good song. I think it's a strong song. I think it's, like, a little out of touch, but I think that if Sexy Back came out today, it'd be a hit. I think if Rock Your Body came out today, it'd be a hit.
Yeah, I think so. But I don't know that we would give him as much attention as we did. you know, like, he may have been, like, a one-hit wonder. Like, I don't know, because we consume music so fucking quickly now and just, like, swallow these songs, like, whole, that I don't know that he would have been able to, like, maintain just being, like, a singing boy from Tennessee that, like, can dance. Do you know what I mean? Like, how many of our of those are out there now? Or like, that can do it better?
That's not how it is. He had, like, 25 years to cultivate a career, and that's how the world works, and that's how music works. Yeah, and here we are today.
And that's why we're listening to Justin's album, right? Because if Justin were a Bruno Mars or a, you know, I mean, we listened to but Nick Jonas' album, we probably would just be listening to the singles and, like, be making judgments based on the singles. But because of Justin's legacy, like, we are listening to his entire album. Like, we wanted to do that. Like,
we were disappointed.
And we were disappointed. But, you know.
But also listen to albums, people. Because listening to albums is like reading a book these days. No one does it, and you really should.
Don't just listen to the top tracks on Spotify.
No, listen to the damn album. Also, I wanted to throw in a couple
listen
of other...
Listen to the damn album.
Listen to the damn album, if you haven't already, which you probably have.
Unless you've been living under a rock or voted for Trump.
Or in Canada.
Or in Canada.
No offense to Canadians, we love y'all. Poontine, if you have any comments or want to interact with us, go up to acriticofeverything.wordpress.com. We'll have a post up that matches the title of this blog with all the links that we talked about, and you can leave us a comment. And yeah, thank you so much for listening. This is Critic of Everything signing out on February 8th, 2018.